I am so glad to be here on this wonderful day. Aren't you glad to be here this morning? And I am as well. And so let's pray for one another, encourage one another. And I want you to think of two words. And at the end, I'm going to bring this all back together. The first word is the word embrace. Everything I'm going to share with you this morning, it's my hope, my prayer, that you will embrace what you're hearing. And then secondly, that you will engage in helping us move forward as a church, making a difference with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to begin our time together with worship, and I'm going to ask you to stand, and I'll tell you what I am going to do. I am going to go ahead and have a word of prayer with you, and they get us ready to sing, go ahead and stand up. Yeah, come on, let's stand together. And Father God, we rejoice today that you are here. And that you have given this moment to us that we may worship you in spirit and in truth. We ask that everything that happens would bring you praise. And let us be a church that makes a difference for your glory and for your honor. And all of God's people said, amen. Sing loudly today.
We believe in God the Father. We believe in Christ the Son. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We are the church and we stand as one. We believe in the Holy Bible. We believe in the Virgin Birth. That Christ one day will return to earth. Holy, holy, holy is our God. Worthy, worthy, worthy is our King. All glory and honor are His to receive. To Jesus we sing because we believe. We believe in the blood of Jesus. We believe in eternal life. We believe in the blood that frees us to become the bride of Christ. Holy, holy, holy is our God. Worthy, worthy, worthy is our King. To Jesus we sing because we believe. Sing that again, church. Holy, holy, holy is our God. Worthy, worthy, worthy is our King. All glory and honor are His to receive. To Jesus we sing because we believe. One more time. Holy, holy, holy is our God. Worthy, worthy, worthy. With many crowns, the Lamb upon His throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem sound drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, who rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of heaven. Crown him the Lord of heaven, one with the Father known, one with the Spirit through him given from God's worthy, Almighty Creator, Alpha, Omega, beginning and the end. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessing and glory, wisdom and power, God is my rock, in him will I trust. My strong tower and my refuge, Savior, Deliverer, and soon coming King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the clouds with great power and glory with him.
But no man knows the day nor the hour, still we await his soon.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Praise his name. Praise his name.
Amen. I want you to be seated. Rain's going to play for us, and we're going to go to a time of prayer. And as we pray this morning, I just want to thank you for your continual generosity We just finished the most amazing first quarter of a ministry plan budget year for our church. October through December was a record year for Whitesburg Baptist Church. Isn't that wonderful? And it enables our church to do so many things. You have given to our World Missions offering $443,000 thus far. Praise God. And so whether you give online, whether you mail your offering in, drop it in the offering box, or maybe you leave it in one of the offering boxes here today, please know your giving is making an eternally significant difference throughout the world. Now, if you're a guest today, we do want you to fill out one of the Connect cards. That's what we want you to leave us, is one of those Connect cards, either electronically or you can leave it in the box this morning. But I want to pray for us. I want us to stop and pray for our church family. I know that many of you have been walking through different seasons, and many of you are walking through challenges at work where you've got projects going and you're going to go in tomorrow and three people are going to call and say, hey, we're sick, we've been exposed, or we're going to have to telework or something like that. Everybody's experiencing it, right? And I know it's challenging at times, but we need to pray for one another. We need to encourage one another. And I know that right now the hospital is not allowing us to go in and make visits on a regular basis. And so we're calling, but we're concerned about those that are sick. We're concerned about those that are in the hospital. We've had several families have deaths in recent days in the life of our church, and we want to lift them up. So this morning, I want us to take some time just to pray and prepare our hearts. So would you bow your heads? Just take a moment and spend with the Lord. Now look this way for a moment. I'm going to begin my prayer this morning using a prayer from what is known as the Valley of Vision. It's a collection of Puritan prayers. I use this in my devotional life. If you've never read this little book, it may be a blessing to you. But I'm going to begin by reading one of these written prayers from the Puritans many years ago called the Valley of Vision. And then I'll close out in a word of prayer. Would you bow your heads as I pray this prayer over us? It's entitled Journeying On. Lord of the cloud and fire, I am a stranger with a stranger's indifference. My hands hold a pilgrim's staff. My march is Zionward. My eyes are toward the coming of the Lord. My heart is in your hands without reserve. You have created it, redeemed it, renewed it, captured it, conquered it. Keep from it every opposing foe. Crush in it every rebel lust. Mortify every treacherous passion. Annihilate every earthborn desire. Lord, all of my faculties of my being vibrate to your touch. I love you with soul, mind, body, strength, might, spirit, affection, will, desire, intellect, understanding. You are the perfect of all perfections. All intellect is derived from you. Compared with you, the sun is darkness, all beauty deformity. all wisdom folly, the best goodness faulty. You are worthy of an adoration greater than my dull heart can yield. God, would you invigorate my love that it may rise worthily to you? Lord, tightly entwine myself around you, and then shall my walk be endless praise. Lord, as we bow this morning, we come acknowledging that you truly are the God of heaven who is worthy of praise. And God, we want the praise from our lips to be that which is worthy of your greatness and your goodness and your mercy. We come today, God, believing that you do have a future and a hope for all of us. And God, as we enter into this new year as a congregation, as a church, we want to have a focus forward that is unlike ever before. Lead us, O God. Guide us. Protect the unity and love that we share so graciously and wonderfully in this family. And, O Lord God, we will sing your praises, for you are the one who is worthy to be praised. And so this morning, speak to us. I pray over these precious people, whether they're online, in person, or unable to be a part of this day. We ask, God, that where your people are gathered, churches all across this city and nation and world, that the name of Jesus will be exalted, the gospel declared clearly and boldly, and lives will be changed because your Spirit is moving among men. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing this next song.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior, he will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need his power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley, been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven, the future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. All the chains are released. I can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home. And day by day, I know he will renew me until I stand with joy before the time. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, all the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
You may be seated this morning. This morning, I again just want to say, isn't it good to have a utility player like Rain Woolwin? And what a blessing he is to us. And thank you, Rain, for stepping in and just helping make things happen this morning. This morning, I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 3. And in a moment, I'm going to read some scripture. And I do want to go ahead and give you notice that in no way are you going to be able to write down everything I'm going to say today. I'm going to cover a lot of material quite rapidly, but you're going to be able to look this up online. The things that you see before you, you're going to be able to look up and go back over. And remember, this is a review. Every year, I ask the Lord to give me a word from His Word that helps guide our church as we go forward. And as I've been praying and asking the Lord to show me, I kept coming back to Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, and realizing that when Paul wrote this last prison epistle in his jail cell, that Paul was not writing to correct a problem or to deal with a sin issue in the life of the church at Philippi, but in so many ways, Paul was writing to encourage the Christians and to speak words of joy into their life that they may persevere and that they may keep reaching forward and press on in the Christian life. The Bible is filled with the words of perseverance. Life is filled with people who persevered. Henry Ford's early businesses failed and he was broke 5 times before he founded Ford Motor Company. Walt Disney went bankrupt after failing at several businesses. He was even fired from a newspaper for lacking imagination. It's true. Albert Einstein was thought to be mentally handicapped before changing the face of modern physics and winning the Nobel Prize. Thomas Edison took 1,000 attempts before inventing the light bulb. His teachers told him when he was growing up he was too stupid to learn anything. Dr. Seuss's first book was rejected by 27 publishers before it was ever accepted. Don't think it's accepted today, is it? Vincent van Gogh sold only one painting in his lifetime, but today his works are priceless. Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team for not being good enough. We look back on all that and we think, that's ludicrous, don't we? Aren't you glad these people didn't give up in life? I want to say to us today that I believe that as God's people, it's important that we understand perseverance. I've been your pastor now for 40 months, and I'd only been here a short time, and the last 22 months have been COVID. And taking a left turn, a right turn, this turn, that turn, trying to figure out our way. And if you remember, about 18 months after I came, it was our intent to begin a strategic planning process to lead our church into the next 5 to 10 years. Because of COVID and all the things that we were dealing with and renovating two major portions of this campus, this building was built in 1981. From 1981 till 2020, the only changes in this worship center were a few modifications on the stage and some carpet and seating cushion changes, but there had been no renovation in almost 40 years. Look what you did through the power of God and His timing and grace to give us this beautiful building that we get to worship in. God's good, amen? The preschool building that was built in 1970 had not seen a major renovation in 52 years. And in 6 months, it was completely gutted and redone, and we have a first-class, light-new building for preschool and children to come to at Whitesburg Baptist Church. Aren't you grateful for that? We're grateful for these things. But I share that to simply say that these are not the reasons that we're here. They're just merely tools. The fact of the matter is, I believe God wants us to have a very clear, forward look in all that He has called us to do. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, the Apostle Paul says these words, "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind," and here are the two phrases if you want to underline them in your Bible, "reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." The words "reaching forward" and the words "press on." Verse 15 says, "Let us therefore, as many as are perfect." Now, that word does not mean we've reached an end goal. It means much more than that in Scripture. It means that we are on an agenda to be what God has called us to be. So let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Brethren, join in following my example. Observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I have often told you and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, Paul was challenging the church both individually and corporately to press on. And as I prayed and I've asked the Lord what God would have us do this year, so that we could move forward and have this forward look at the ministry and the direction of Whitesburg Baptist Church, I kept coming back to this passage where we're told to reach forward and to keep pressing on. And I think the challenge for us individually, for us congregationally as a church family, is that together we must press on in what God has called us to do. There are five challenges in this text that one day I'll preach a full sermon on. Let me give you these five very quickly. In verse 13, Paul says to keep your focus forward. Keep reaching forward. He's using the imagery of an athlete competing in the Isthmian Games who sees the finish line, the tape before him, and he's leaning into it and he's reaching out because he wants to cross the finish line and win the prize. But you don't win by looking back. You've got to keep focusing forward. In verse 14, he says, keep your focus on the finish line. Press on. In verse 16, he says, keep your focus on the faith. Notice in verse 16, he speaks about the standard that we have been given, the standard that is ours in Jesus Christ, the standard that is ours in the Word of God. Let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. And then he goes on in verse 17 and he says, keep your focus on the right examples. And in verse 20, he says, keep your focus on your future hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And this is not all that there is. We believe there is a heaven, and we believe there is a home in heaven for those that know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Do you believe this, church? So God's desire is for us to press on with a forward focus. The Word of God is clear that in Jesus' name, you and I are to press on. So what I want to do this morning is I want to talk about three things. I want to talk about foundations. I want to talk to you about some updates that you need to hear about. And I also want to talk to us about the future. What is God wanting us to do this year that as we work through this year on the foundational things of who we are as a church, what are the things that when we end 2022 that we need to have as a congregation for the next 5 to 10 years to move forward? Well, let me talk to you about foundations. We say that we exist to help people encounter Jesus and experience life change. We are committed to helping people connect with Jesus Christ and His church through meaningful membership. When we talk about connecting with God's church, we want to make sure people know Christ and are regenerate, that they've been born again. And then we believe that belonging to a local church is important in a person's spiritual life. We want to help people grow. We're committed to helping people grow in their faith. We want to help people serve. We are committed to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ and serving others. And we serve God when we use our gifts to serve His church, the community, and literally around the world. But I want to share with you about four things that I think are foundational in the life of our church. One of those is prayer. We must move forward on our knees. Do you believe that? One thing that God has burdened my heart with that we began 2 years ago that we were unable to continue because of not meeting all the time was a congregational prayer gathering. Beginning on January the 23rd, we are going to relaunch on the fourth Sunday of each month. The church family will gather in the worship center at 5:30 for a night of meaningful, Bible-driven, Spirit-led, focused prayer. Something that you may not be aware of is the prayer wall that we have on our website that you can actually go to, and you can submit requests online as well as you can pray for others who have left their requests at whitesburgbaptist.org. It's our desire that if you have a need, that we pray for you and that we have prayer team members that are praying for you as well. We have a prayer team. Our team is committed to praying for the needs of others throughout the week. How many of you are encouraged when you find out somebody has been praying for me? You feel encouraged by that? I know I do. If you want to make requests directly to the prayer team, you can call our prayer line or you can email Beverly Dishman and you'll get all this information online, or you can go out to our mission center and there's information there that you can find out about. And it may be that you say, I'd love to be a part of the prayer team ministry at Whitesburg Baptist Church. You go to the mission center, you get involved on the I Serve component, and we will connect you with what it means to be involved in prayer. What I'm saying to our church family is, I believe that prayer is so very important for the life of our church, and that not just praying in your life group, not just praying individually at home, but I believe God's people gathering specifically, intentionally, as a multi-generational congregation of people from every walk and stage and age of life, it is critical that we see a biblical foundation of why we should embrace and engage in congregational prayer. So next Sunday morning, I'm going to preach a message on the biblical foundation for congregational prayer. I don't want to say, hey, we're having a time to gather in prayer and you just come as an event. It is not an event. It is a strategic reality that the church has seen in the New Testament. We see it all the way through the Old Testament. God's people must gather for intentional, purposeful, Bible-driven, Spirit-led prayer. Do you agree with this? So this is something we're going to prioritize. The second foundational element that is so important to our church is what we call disciple-making. Now please understand that a disciple commits to follow Jesus. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. With the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Disciples have a clear testimony of saving faith. If you're here and you have questions about your relationship with Jesus Christ, we would be glad for you to talk with a pastor online, call us, or at the end of any service, we have what we call an invitation where you can come and say to a pastor, I would like to talk with someone about what it means to be saved, to know Christ, to know that I've been forgiven and that I'm going to heaven one day when I die. A disciple has a clear testimony of saving faith. Now, two things that I'm going to mention to you a couple of times this morning. One is, when you leave today, you're going to have a bookmark that have the marks of a disciple on it that I'm about to finish showing you. And on the backside, it has other information about prayer and about our I Serve ministry. But I want to point this out, because don't leave here without that. Also, when I speak about disciples have a clear testimony of saving faith, you can go online or you can pick up one of these My Story guides that was put together by our college pastor, young adult pastor, Tyler Clift, and it's intended for you to use this so that you can clearly articulate your story and share the gospel with family, friends, neighbors, and coworkers. Because disciples have a clear testimony of saving faith. A disciple reads the Bible. All scripture is inspired by God and beneficial for teaching, rebuke, correction, training in righteousness. Because of that, as a disciple, we believe that disciples read the Bible. The church Bible reading plan is available on our website at the church app. And today when you leave, you can pick up a printed copy as well. You say, well, Daryl, I have my own Bible reading plan. Wonderful. You don't have to use this plan. But what we are committed to doing is helping you know that as a disciple, a daily Bible reading should be a part of your daily life. And if you need help organizing and doing that, we want to be a benefit and a blessing to you. You in making that happen. Disciples read their Bibles. Disciples devote time to prayer. The Bible says, Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Another tool that we want to make available to you is the Acts Prayer Guide that are available on our website and the Whitesburg app. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Disciples read their Bible. Disciples devote time to prayer. You say, Daryl, aren't these very basic? Yes. But the fact of the matter is, if we don't do these things well, it doesn't matter what else we plan. If we don't read the Bible and we don't pray as God's people, we're not going to grow and be like Jesus, are we? Activity is not a substitute for intimacy with Christ. So a disciple devotes time to prayer, but a disciple also prioritizes the local church. Hebrews 10:25 says, not abandoning our own meeting together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We prioritize the church because we believe we should connect in worship, grow in groups, and serve in ministry. We believe disciples live generously. 2 Corinthians 9:7, each one must do just as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, but God loves a cheerful giver. So we believe a disciple lives generously when they invest their time, their talents, and their resources in ministry. Every single one of us should be finding an area to invest ourselves in serving others, serving our church, and serving our community to make a difference for the Lord. A disciple shares the gospel. Mark 16:15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And that's why we're supplying for you the My Story Guide to help you share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We believe the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. Do you believe this? Disciples share the gospel. But disciples also make disciples. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. When we talk about making disciples, we're saying that you follow Jesus in word and deed by pouring your life into others as Christ did. You do this one-on-one with another believer or in a disciple-making group. The other day, I asked my 2-year-old granddaughter, Ada. She's got an easy name to spell. She can spell it. I say, how do you spell Ada? A-D-A. She's got it. But I asked her, I said, Ada, what have you been learning at church? She said, about Elmo. How many of you know who Elmo is? Well, that's not what I'd like for her to learn at church, but I know that she's being taught the Bible at the church that she attends. I just know she's 2-year-old, and 2-year-olds think differently about things, don't they? But we're not 2-year-olds in here. And we need to be committed to making disciples. That's why on January the 23rd, I'm going to share a message about disciple making. And I'm going to give you the biblical foundation for making disciples. So on the 16th, we're going to learn what God's word says about congregational corporate gatherings of prayer. Then on the 23rd, we're going to learn what is the biblical foundation for actually making disciples. I want to share with you about an exciting opportunity for our church and our community. On the 11th, 12th, and 13th of February, we're hosting Unshakable, a worldview conference. We are so committed to helping you live as a disciple of Jesus Christ in a non-Christian culture and world that we are going to be bringing in 3 of the top Christian apologetics leaders in America. And they are going to be coming on Friday night and Saturday, and teaching a biblical worldview. This is for all age groups. It's for anybody and everybody that wants to come. We're partnering with our academy. They're inviting all of our academy families because it is a part of who we are as Whitesburg Christian Academies, raising up young champions for Christ with a biblical worldview. And then on Sunday, Frank Turek is going to remain and preach that Sunday morning to our congregation about a biblical worldview. We want to help you be a disciple, pardon me, who makes disciples. That's coming up on February 11th, 12th, and 13th. What are the foundations? Our church is going to make prayer a priority. Our church is committed to making disciples. Third, we're committed to our serve strategy. This coming Wednesday night, we begin all of our spring equip groups. You need to go on and find out what the opportunities are. In the auditorium here, I'm going to teach a 9-week series on spiritual warfare. Part of my preparation has been rereading a book by Jerry Rankin entitled Spiritual Warfare and Missions. I love this quote by Rankin. Satan opposes the kingdom of God. He seeks to deprive God of the praise and glory that is due his name. When we talk about serve at Whitesburg Baptist Church, we believe that we are called to be a witness in Huntsville and to the world because the nations should praise the living God and declare that there is no God but Jehovah. Amen. So we have three components to our serve strategy. I serve, as I go, and go teams. I serve. The goal of the serve ministry is to equip you, God's people, to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. I serve connects the people in the church to opportunities to serve within the ministries of the church. That means that if you say, I don't really know how to connect, I don't know how I can plug in and use my gifts, my skills, my interest for the glory of God, the first place you go is either to a pastor, you can make a phone call, you can send an email, or you can go to our mission center where we actually have electronically set up where you can go in and input your information and say, would someone contact me? Or you can fill out a form and our associate missions pastor will follow up with you and help you find a place of service because everybody has been given a spiritual gift and should be using it for the glory of God. Do you agree with this? What are some key needs that we have? Guest services. We need more greeters. Preferably people who smile. We need preschool workers. Our preschool ministry is exploding. This is the most amazing thing. In 2021, listen to this, we registered 1,000 first-time guests in 12 months. Is that awesome? You know what's even more amazing is most of them were under the age of 45, and many of them were families with young children. We need preschool workers. We need student workers in middle school and high school. We need new life group teachers. We need people working in our media ministry. You interested in helping us with our live streaming? You interested in helping learn how to operate cameras on a Sunday? You interested in learning about lighting and sound? We want you to volunteer and be a part. I serve. We don't want a few people doing everything. We want everybody doing something and sharing in this ministry. I serve. As I go, as we go about our daily lives, we will engage people in our circles of influence. God has called us to make an impact in our neighborhoods, our workplace, our schools, and in our community. We will do this by praying, engaging, and sharing. It is our desire that you live a missional lifestyle and that you prepare yourself to share your story of new life in Jesus with others. I want you to be praying because in March of this year, we are going to reemphasize who is your one. We're going to think about what could happen if every single one of us would imagine the impact if every Christian had one person that they prayed for and shared the gospel with. Who are you committing to pray for and go and see? Sherry, if you could put that, who's your one slide, that would be good. On March, we're going to come back to you and we're going to ask you, who have you been praying about? Who has God put on your list? I was driving through my neighborhood last night and I ran across one of my neighbors who actually is attending our church, wonderful folks, and they were saved not long ago and baptized here at Whitesburg Baptist Church, and they looked at me kind of odd because I was coming in the direction I never entered the neighborhood from, and they said, "What's up?" And I said, "Well, I'm scouting out a prospect I found." Look, they're everywhere. They've got us surrounded. Let's don't let any of them escape. It's not his will that any should perish. And so, church, who's your one? Who's that loved one or neighbor or workmate or schoolmate that you don't want to see die without Jesus Christ? I want you to pray about that. Who's your one? Go teams. Go teams are committed to helping people encounter Jesus and experience life change. Go teams are short-term, specific missional opportunities in the community, in our nation, and around the world. Every Sunday, we can't tell you everything that's going on through this ministry. At some level, we want to encourage you to embrace the opportunity by engaging in the responsibility to find out the opportunities that you can plug in and be a part of to make a difference. For example, upcoming on February, we have a food drive for the food pantry and the hygiene bag collection for Shower Up. February the 26th, there's a men's ministry go team. We're going to go and minister right here next door to the Whitesburg Elementary and Middle School. March the 11th through the 20th, we have a Rochester, New York go team. This is going to be taking a mission trip to Rochester, New York to work with our partner church there that is doing a great work. March 12th through 19th, there's a high school choir go team, and they're still working on those details because of some last minute changes. These are just a few of the early opportunities in 2022 that you can say, I want to be a part of a go team. I want to go somewhere on mission. I want to be a part of going to Lincoln Village or the Huntsville Pregnancy Resource Center, or I want to go help Shower Up, or I'm going to serve next door at Whitesburg Elementary, or I'm going to go to my neighborhood, or I'm going to go to Rochester, New York, or I'm going to go wherever God is leading our church to make a difference with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be a part of a go team. This fall, we are going to relaunch our missions conference, where you can meet our mission partners and learn how to be a part of what God is doing in Huntsville and around the world. Look for it in September of 2022. On the 30th of January, I don't want to ask you to live missionally and not give you the biblical foundation for why and how. So the 16th, I'm going to be teaching a biblical message on the biblical foundation for congregational prayer. The 23rd, I'll be teaching on the biblical foundation for making disciples. The 30th, I'm going to be teaching a biblical message on the foundation for living missionally. God has given us an incredible opportunity to reach this city, our community, and the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's not let 1 minute go to waste. And everybody said, amen. But I want to talk about something else. These are the foundational things, thank you, that we're not going to let anything else get in the way. We're not going to so get active that we're so busy doing everything but the things that matter most. Do you agree with that? Let me talk to you about member care. We believe that caring for the body of Christ is important because the scripture says they'll know that we're Christians if we have what? Love for one another. One of the best things you can do to be a part of member care is get in a life group. Some group, whether it's a life group, equip group, or a disciple group, if you're not doing life with other Christians where you are known and involved, when you go through a season where you need care and love and support from your church family, we may not know. And one of the things that we want to do is we want to make sure that we are as aware as we possibly can of people who are in need. Let me tell you a little bit about some of the member care that already goes on. Let me tell you about our widows and widowers. We have 140 widows in our church. Deacons are assigned to each widow and widower in our church family to check on them every month and make quarterly visits. These people don't need to be forgotten. If you know of someone we've overlooked, please know it's not by intent, it is by accident, and please let us know. We care about people in hospital and bereavement. Pastors and deacons make daily phone calls and visits to those in the hospital when we're allowed to go to the hospital. Our pastors reach out to families who've lost loved ones, and our funeral coordinator, Beverly Dishman, helps guide families through the planning service. I'm a little curious, how many of you have had the help from our bereavement ministry, from those folks that prepare meals and come alongside and help you with funeral plan? How many of you have had that this year? There's been a number of you. I want you to know, when we care for one another in times of crisis, it demonstrates the love of Jesus to the community. And people say, man, those people love each other. And Jesus said, they'll know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. What about our homebound? Our homebound members are loved by God and their church family. Right now, we have a ministry called Noteworthy where people send cards every month. Maybe you want to be a part of that. We deliver meals to homebound members. We pick up meals from local sources, deliver them to the homes of homebound members because these people, most of them, all of them, have been faithful, long-term members of Whitesburg Baptist Church, and they deserve to be loved and cared for in the place of their greatest need. Do you agree with this? We believe in member care. You may not be aware we have a biblical counseling ministry. The biblical counseling ministry exists to give help and hope to those who are struggling with the issues of life. We have trained and compassionate staff that provide spiritual and practical guidance that is based on God's Word, the Bible. You can call and make an appointment, or you can say, you know what, I'm interested in being a lay-trained biblical counselor that provides biblical discipling advice in line with Scripture to those that need someone to pour into their life. Now, let me tell you why I share this with you. As we lean into this year and as we reach forward and press on with what God has called us to do, there are some foundational things that we are going to do as a church that are going to be priorities continually. We're going to pray. We're going to make disciples. We're going to live missionally by serving locally, nationally, and internationally and carrying the gospel to the ends of the earth. And we are going to make sure that we do the best job we can in member care to minister to the needs of our church family. This is not a group. This is not a corporation. This is a family. We are the family of God, and we must love and demonstrate care for one another. Now I'm curious, how many of you had no idea that that kind of member care goes on in the life of our church? Would you raise your hand? Yeah. Some of you. We need your help. One of the things I love about this church is how many times I pick up the phone to call somebody because I hear about a need. And they say, oh, we're fine, Pastor. Our life group's taking care of us. And it's almost like they're saying, we don't need you, Pastor. We got other brothers and sisters in Christ. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that, because as much as I'd like to, I can't touch everybody's life, but I'd like to. These things are important. I must hurry because we need to close. Let me give you some quick updates. Our Pulaski property, our church voted this year to donate our Pulaski property to the Boys and Girls Club of North Alabama. That process is still underway. The legal work is being done. The Boys and Girls Club of North Alabama is looking at the zoning, trying to get that changed. We will not transfer the deed until that has occurred, because we don't want to make that mistake and get the cart before the head of the horse. But know that that is happening, and as soon as we have more information, we will get back with you. Renovations. We've done these major renovation projects, but we continue to work on other projects, paying cash as we go, replacing HVAC systems, repairing roofs, and doing other things that need to be done. You may not be aware of this, but the vast majority of this campus was built before 1970. This worship center was built in 1981. The campus that we have that is called our South Campus was built in about 2000. We have 50 acres, a recreation outreach center, and our Whitesburg Christian Academy sits just about a quarter of a mile south of here. There are many new people in our church that aren't even aware of that. You need to go down there and find out all the opportunities for you that are there. One of the great concerns that I have that we're currently working on is our next generation facilities. The oldest facility on our campus is an old church building built in 1959 that is used by our student ministry. And I want you to know that if we're going to reach the next generation of students, young adults, and college, we have got to invest in providing a facility that is up to date, current, and relative to meeting the needs of the ministry today. It was built in 1959. It has been painted, there's been carpet put in it through the years, but there has been no substantial renovations or changes to that building since the church purchased it many, many years ago. We're going to address that this year, and we'll bring that back to the church with recommendation. One of the exciting things that our church voted on this year was Whitesburg Christian Academy is in need of a gymnasium. Now, for those of you that are new to our church, the Academy is a ministry of Whitesburg Baptist Church. Jerry Reeder, our headmaster, is a part of our staff, and our upper school principal, Robbie Parker, sitting right over here. Robbie is a member of our church, and his wife, Nita, and we're so grateful they're here. This is an incredible ministry that is touching over 80 churches in our community, hundreds and hundreds of children. We have grown. We have watched people flood into our academy. It is expanding and growing and raising up disciples. And I want you to pray as our academy continues to raise the funds, as Jerry is working on that in the background, and so that we can continue to do what the church has approved for them to do. Aren't you glad that we're training up young champions for Christ? Amen. So what about our future? I want you to understand the foundation is what's important. Prayer, making disciples, serving, sharing the gospel, and member care. But as we look forward to the future, this fall, 2022, we will be coming back to the church with a strategic missional initiative 5-year plan. It was our intent in 2020, we began a strategic planning process that was derailed in March when we were shut down with COVID. And then with the last 20 months, we have set that aside as we've maneuvered through this time. But God has spoken to my heart, and God has said, church, it is time to press on and keep reaching forward. One of the ways we're going to do that is bring back to you a 5-year plan of strategic missional initiatives, continuing to refine our culture, our clarity, and alignment of not only our personnel, our programs, and our facilities. But we are also going to be updating our bylaws and operational policies to meet the days ahead and to move us into the future. This has not been done in a long time in the life of our church. But we also intend to bring back a master campus plan so that our church knows not only what we're going to be doing with our campuses, our main campus here and our campus south, a quarter of a mile, with our recreation outreach center and our academy, what the master campus plan will look like for the days moving forward, not just in the facilities that we have, the facilities that may come, but also the way that we intend to take care of what God has given us in these days. Our finance committee and our facilities team is doing a great job with that. If you want resources, you can go to our website, to the Whitesburg app. You can pick up printed handouts as you leave today that will help you to know these things. Please pick up your Bible reading plan, your My Story guide, and this bookmark that gives you key information that I have shared with you today. Now, I want to come back to Philippians 3. And I want to close out our service today with a reminder of those two words: embrace and engage. Paul said, "Brethren, I don't regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, all the accomplishments, all the achievements, all the past stories of success, and I reach forward. I reach forward because I know that there's a generation coming behind me that needs Jesus Christ. I know that there is a world desperate for the gospel, and our job is not done. So I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." This is our forward look. We're committed to the foundations of who we are as a church, and we are not going to overwhelm ourselves with things that deter us from the main thing. But we are going to move forward together, and I'm asking us as a church to embrace these foundational things and to engage. And maybe you've been here and you've been attending for a long time, but you haven't joined. It's time for you to say, "I want to hook up, I want to connect, and I want to make a difference through the life of this ministry." Some of you, you say, "Daryl, I have served a long time. My health prohibits me from doing the things I used to love to do." I don't want you frustrated. I want you to know that you're valued. I want you to know that we need older adults pouring into the lives of younger adults. We need prayer warriors. We need people who will just do what they can do. Engage. Don't be an attender. Be someone who participates and says, "I want to make a difference for the glory of God all the days that God gives me." Embrace and engage. How? By reaching forward with us and pressing on. Would you stand? We are purposefully ending with this song this morning, "Be Thou My Vision." And I'm going to ask, we have pastors that are coming to be here at the altar, and we're going to sing this great hymn of the faith. And this morning, if God is speaking to you in any way, you say, "Daryl, I just believe God's calling me to be a part of this. I want to be a part." Maybe you're saying, "Daryl, I don't know Jesus, but I'd love to." Online, you can speak with our online pastor. Maybe you're a deacon and you want to lead the way today. Deacons, maybe God's calling our men to come to this altar and pray for their church. Maybe God's calling you to come and pray for our church. I love Whitesburg Baptist Church, don't you? I'm so grateful for each and every one of you. Father, speak. You be our vision. Teach us, O God.